This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, I'll do this peppy for Matt Eumanns. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com or download the app right now. Remember, if you're in Vegas, bring your state-issued ID to an MGM property and you're ready to go. You got to be 21 years or older. If you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Of course, it's Saturday Bet Prep. Matt Eumanns in concert with the Circuit Invitational. Michael, we were just talking about the Invitational. Mm-hmm. All kidding aside, he hates it when we kiss his butt, but it's the best contest going right now.
No doubt. And it's a brand that I think, you know, to me, as I was telling Matt off air, this is kind of like, you know, you get Mission Impossible 1, you get Mission Impossible 2. You know, this thing can continue on and on through the year because it's so good. And look, we're all looking for more information. And you got 16 or 20 of the best handicappers all over based on the sport. I mean, look, I hope he invites me to be the hockey handicapper in the offseason.
we welcome in Matt Eumanns, of course, the host of VSiN's Saturday Bet Prep. Of course, he's been here since the inception of VSiN. Overall, great guy. You know what's so funny, Matt? I was joking with Elliot. I said, I swear he's going to have Kansas State today. I know Adrian Martinez. There's questions about him. Oklahoma State has run that gauntlet for five straight weeks. This is the best defense Oak State's going to play. The number right now in Manhattan is Kansas State laying 1.5. I thought you were going to be on Kansas State in this spot.
You know, I'm on Kansas State season win total over, and I need one more win, and that's part of the reason I'm not playing that game today. Also, I took a brutal beat on Kansas State last week. I had K-State actually +5 in my pocket. They're up 28-10. Their top two quarterbacks get knocked out. The third stringer comes in. His first pass gets picked off, and a 28-10 lead turns into a 38-28 loss, and that was kind of tough to take. So I've had enough of K-State right now. I'll just be happy. If K-State can get the win, I'll be happy if K-State can get the win and get over that win total.
You sound like me with the Lions. Like, I've had enough of the Lions. Oh. Like, there's no chance I'm going that the Lions. 10-6, ball at the one-inch line, and you end up not covering a seven-point number. I mean, it's absurd. So I get where you're going with that. I have a hard time, Matt, and you're better at this, and other guys are, is there's a bias that we go through in decision-making called availability bias, which the information that's readily available to us, we use to then make another decision moving forward. And I think sometimes the best bettors forget about those bad beats and move forward. I can't.
You know, you're right about that. I think sometimes I always say you should have a short memory in most cases. But also, you know, in this case, I still have liability on K-State, and I need that one more win. So that plays a part into it as well. But in the NFL, Michael, when you have so many limited options, I think too many handicappers say, like, in week 5 or so, I'm never going to bet the Commanders again. You know, screw that team. Yeah. I'm never going to bet the Bears again. And you can't do that in the NFL especially. You just can't write off teams. We get frustrated. And we want to write off teams, but you can't do it. And, I mean, the Bears proved that Monday night, the fiasco in Foxborough. Who thought the Bears were going to go there and pummel the Patriots the way they did? Hey, as far as the Lions last week, I want to mention this. Why does Dan Campbell not challenged to play at the goal line when it looks like it's a touchdown?
You answer the question with the question. It's Dan Campbell.
That's exactly right. It's Dan Campbell. And he stands up at the podium after every game and says, that one's on me. Well, eventually, you either have to get the hell out of here or start fixing this. Question for you, Matt Eumanns. Remember, the committee's going to drop their first set of rankings on Tuesday, November 1. So coming up this Tuesday. Forget about the rankings. I don't care about that. I want Matt Eumanns' top four that you've watched this year college football teams.
Who's on the committee this year, by the way? Is it Condoleezza Rice, Joe Biden?
It's so true.
I'm going to go the top four as of right now. And this is probably going to change because Tennessee's got to beat Kentucky today and then play Georgia next week. But I think you have to put Tennessee, Georgia, Ohio State. And I regret to say it, but I think as of right now, I think Clemson's got to be in that top four, even though I'm not convinced Clemson is worthy, and Clemson's got kind of a weak schedule down the stretch, but I think those are the four as of today. But that's going to change, you know, a month from now, so there's no reason to get too worked up about it.
Michael, that's what I said.
So would you take – so let's play that forward. Would you bet Clemson at 16-1 for on the national championship odds?
I would not, because I just don't think Clemson is that good. And that team's going to get beat by somebody. You could say, well, yeah, if Clemson gets to the Final Four, then you could start to hedge. I'm not convinced Clemson's going to get there. And I don't believe in that team right now. If you watch the Syracuse game last week, the Orange blew that game. Syracuse should have won. And nobody thought that was going to happen. You had sharp bettors laying 13 and 14 with Clemson last week. And Tigers were lucky in that game. But no, I would not take the 16-1. I think that team's going to get tripped up at some point. But as of today, it's in the top four. Clemson's not in my top four.
Matt, Tennessee travels to Georgia next week. This week, Kentucky travels to them. You're going to take Kentucky. You got 12. It's 11.5 right now.
You know, Kentucky's got everything I look for in a live dog here. You've got a quarterback who's probably going to be one of the first top 10 picks in the NFL draft, and Will Levis. He's finally healthy, off a bye. Last year, he lit up the Tennessee defense, 372 passing yards and 3 touchdowns. That was a shootout. I think Tennessee won 48-45 in Lexington. You've also got a really good defensive coach in Mark Stoops, so I think he's going to find ways not only to scheme against this hurry-up Tennessee offense, but he's also got a running back who can get the tough yards between the tackles and keep the clock running. So you can slow down the pace of the game with your running back. You've got a quarterback who can make big-time plays, and you got a defense that I think might be better than anything Tennessee has faced to this point. That includes Alabama. And also the intangible factors, Patrick and Michael, is that the Volunteers players have been hearing the hype now. You know, they're being told how good they are, how great they are. And they also probably have one eye on that Georgia game next week. So a lot of different things in play here. I took 13 with Kentucky early in the week. I would still take the 12 that's out there now. I do think the Wildcats are going to be live to win this game today.
Well, I think what you said is so true. I think Mark Stoops will pace this game. And if you're going to play Tennessee, and if Alabama plays them again, I think they're going to want to pace the game. And that's what Stoops does a really good job of. Limit the possessions, kind of reduce the game. Because when you go over there, I mean, you know, he wants this game to be somewhere 31 and under, not into the 40s. And if it gets to the 40s, then Tennessee covers. If it's in that 30s, I think you're right. I think Kentucky covers.
Hey, by the way, Tennessee's pass defense, Michael, allows 330 yards per game. That ranks 130th out of 131 teams in college football. So I think Kentucky should be able to move the ball here today and control the clock, and that's key against Tennessee.
And Kentucky's discipline. And Tennessee just isn't. And Kentucky has a very good run D. I like the matchup as well for Kentucky. Tennessee, though, super explosive, have been all year. Okay, next one up. And you're taking a dog here as well, Happy Valley. You like Penn State catching the 15.5 with Ohio State in town.
Yeah, if you check with me in a few hours, I might say, why in the hell did I bet on James Franklin? I can't, you know. But as of right now, I did pick the 15.5 with Penn State. And here's the thing. Ohio State power rates as the number one or number two team. I'm hearing a lot of people talk about how great the Buckeyes are, how explosive they are. When I've seen Ohio State against one legitimate opponent this season, against Notre Dame, which has now pretty much been exposed as a pedestrian team, the Buckeyes struggled to pull away and win that game 21-10 at home. We're in the late October, and this is Ohio State's second road game. That's it. The Buckeyes have played 6 weak opponents. So we have not seen this team yet go on the road and be tested by a ranked opponent in a hostile atmosphere. And that's what we're going to see today at Penn State. Plus, you've got Sean Clifford on the other side, a veteran dual threat quarterback. Singleton and Allen are big time running backs. I do think Penn State's going to be able to run the ball and move the ball on this Ohio State defense. So that's a lot of points to be laying on the road for a team that's playing only its second road game at this point in the season. You can look at all the numbers you want to tell you how great the Ohio State offense is. That's fine. But the Buckeyes really played nobody up to this point.
Yeah. Matt, I agree. I think if you're betting, look, I'm not a Penn State fan either, and I'm with you. But I think if you're betting Ohio State to cover this, you're betting blindly because you don't really have data to support how good. We're going to find out today at 4 o'clock how good Ohio State is or aren't they. You know, we're going to know if they really are for real on defense. We're going to know about their offense. We're going to know about their head coach. We're going to learn a lot. This will be the only game until the Michigan game that we're going to be able to gauge this.
That's true. Last week, Ohio State was held to 66 rushing yards on 30 carries by the Iowa Hawkeyes in Columbus. So that's why I said we don't know how great this Ohio State team is yet. So the Buckeyes got to go on the road and prove it to me today in Happy Valley. I wish this were a night game. I feel like the dog would be a better bet if it was a night. You know, if it was a whiteout night game, I don't like the early morning kickoff, but they got to do that for Fox. But I'll go ahead and play the dog anyway.
Ohio State struggled big time in the red zone against Iowa last week as well. They'll look to correct that. By the way, those wondering why Matt Youmans, of course, host of Bet Prep, is on Skype today, he's getting on the private jet, Michael Lombardi. He's going to be surfing later today in San Diego. So that's the reason we got Youmans on Skype. People don't realize he's a fast food addict, but he's also a surfer. So that's one thing about Matt Youmans you learned today on the Lombardi Line. When we come back, we do have for Matty Youmans a play tomorrow morning in London. You've got Denver and Jacksonville, and we'll get to the NFL slate with Matt Youmans as we continue. Remember, all the information for the Circa Invitational on Saturday Bet Prep is up. VSiN.com/subscribe to become a VSiN pro to get those plays. We're coming back with Matt Youmans before he heads off to surf in San Diego. We continue Lombardi Line Week 9 College Football right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Well, it's easy to talk about VSiN pros when I'm in the company of greatness like Matt Youmans and Michael Lombardi. Two VSiN pros, you can get those picks exclusively, VSiN.com/subscribe. What else are you going to get? Pro tools, pro picks at a glance, and pro tips. You get over 20 a day here at VSiN. Again, VSiN pros have made a lot of money this season. You should, too. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. As we welcome you back, Cowabunga, of course, our buddy Matt Youmans joins us. He's headed to San Diego after the show, so we appreciate the time. Michael Lombardi there. Let's transition to the NFL. And, Matt, I'm going to let you lead this, but we'll start with the early game. We're going to be live on the air here on the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi freaking out during this game tomorrow, which is always great. Jacksonville's laying 2, and you're going to lay it with Denver there, Wembley Stadium.
Yeah, I'm going to bite the bullet here because this is not going to be a coaching clinic. With these two guys on opposite sidelines, who's going to screw up worse? Broncos country, let's not ride. And I don't want to bet on Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett. I think that's a complete clown show at this point. And I'm pretty certain that the Broncos players are no longer buying into what Russell Wilson's trying to sell. And even when he's healthy, he does not look good. And I'm not sure he's completely healthy right now. And I don't love the Jaguars, but I do love the Jaguars defensive front. I think that's still legit. When you saw the Jaguars go to LA and beat up the Chargers, that's about as well as they can play. I'd like to see them play like that again tomorrow, but they have experience going to London. They've done this thing before. They played well over there, and you can't say that for the Broncos. I'm fading the Hackett Wilson combination until these guys prove differently.
Yeah. I say this on my show all the time, on our show all the time, is that if it wasn't for Peterson, this Jacksonville team should be in first place in the South. He continues to want to go for it on fourth down, and he doesn't get it. And on this four-game losing streak, he could have easily won 3 of those games. And so, you know, he couldn't have beaten Philly, but he turns the ball over on downs. He makes mistakes. God bless you, Matt. I'm going to watch it, but it's a clinic on what not to do in a game. It really is.
There's a lesson in the next play, and for new bettors, I think this is important. And Matt, you can explain a little bit more, but don't overreact to what you just saw. You're going to lay it with the Patriots headed to, of course, the Jets, and we just saw the Patriots perform so poorly. But again, the NFL is up, down, up, down, up, down. You can't overreact.
Yeah, you're right about that. A lot of times you want to bet on the teams that looked really bad the previous week. And could the Patriots look any worse than they did Monday night against the Bears? But that's part, you know, Bill Belichick's defense sometimes struggles with mobile quarterbacks. And I think for the first time this season, we saw the Bears do something smart. They schemed running plays to take advantage of what Justin Fields does best. And the Patriots, for whatever reason, didn't have an answer to stop it. And I thought the Bears played their best game Monday night. And also the combination of Mac Jones coming back, which I did not like when I heard about that Monday. I said, this is going to be a negative for the Patriots because I felt like, and I get Michael's opinion on this, I think he saw Bailey Zappe playing lights out. You know, he hears the talk like everybody else. He's afraid to get Wally pipped. He rushes back. He's not ready to play. And it kind of threw the Patriots out of rhythm from the beginning. Here's another key for this game. I had this circled. This was going to be a big play for me this week until I watched the Patriots Monday night. Now it's just a normal play. But when Breece Hall got injured against the Broncos last week, I decided I was going to play the Patriots. And Breece Hall's been the engine in that Jets offense. It's definitely not Zach Wilson. When Breece Hall touches that ball, he's explosive. And you can see the difference he makes in that offense. Without him, I think the Jets are going to struggle offensively. I like Belichick in this spot, laid to 2.5.
I think, you know, they do. You hit the nail on the head. They struggle with what I call a six-back offense when the quarterback is really vitally part of the running game. It's different than, you know, when they play a quarterback who moves around. When the quarterback's involved in the run, as one of the six skilled players, Belichick has struggled. Lamar Jackson in week 3 struggled like crazy. They have a hard time. They're not fast enough on defense. It has really nothing to do with scheme. It's all about the speed of their defense. Zach Wilson doesn't do this. I think they'll be able to attack him. Without Corey Davis in the game, I think that's significant. I think they're going to put pressure on Zach Wilson, and he's going to have to participate. Other than the fourth quarter against Pittsburgh in the last on their win streak, he's failed to participate. And I don't think without Breece Hall, you know, they ran a toss play against Denver that went for a 70, a toss play. I mean, John Robinson and John McKay would have been so happy. The great Vince Dooley would have been delighted with that. I mean, that's an old school play that went for 70. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that against New England.
A Matt Eumanns rule, he is not going to lay 3. He's going to lay 2.5, or he'll take the 3.5, and he's going to take the 3.5 with Cleveland on Monday night hosting Cincinnati.
Yeah, that 3.5's out there at a few spots on the Browns. I know it's at the South Point. It's at Caesars in Vegas. You can probably find it elsewhere. But, you know, here this is a week in the NFL, and I'm looking forward to seeing Michael Lombardi's plays today. I had a really hard time coming up with 5 plays in the NFL. I had a hard time coming up with 3. And then you get a stretch to list of 5. I went ahead and played the Browns on Monday night, getting 3.5. And the big factor for me is Ja'Marr Chase being out of that Cincinnati offense. And that's simply what pushed me over the edge to take the points with the Browns on Monday night. I think Joe Burrow has looked a lot better because of Ja'Marr Chase making plays for him. And you take him out of the offense, I think that's going to make a difference. I get Michael's thoughts on that game.
You know, Matt, that was my when I do Chris Russo every Friday, you know, after I have to listen to him tell me how he's killing me in the contest, he's only up by 2 games in the win column. That's it. You know, I have 2 pushes. But those lines were kind of doctored by his master, Eddie. Anyway, so I took Cleveland. Now, you know, naturally, and I got 3.5 from him. I don't know how I got it. I didn't think he thought I would take Cleveland. That's why 3.5 was out there. So I do. I think when you go back and watch, Cleveland can run the ball. I don't know why he insisted on throwing the ball as much as he did against Baltimore last week when Chubb's their best player. But I think this is a must-win for Cleveland game. And you're right. Without Chase, this is going to be a harder game because teams are going to play man-to-man. They're not going to fear Boyd. They're not going to fear Higgins as much. And it's going to put pressure on that offensive line.
You know, you say it every week, Matt Eumanns. I don't know how you find 5 plays in the NFL. That's why, like, 5 years ago, I shifted to soccer. These numbers are too tight. These numbers are too sharp in the NFL. It's a really tough sport to beat right now.
Yeah, it's tough, but, you have to just keep digging. Keep digging and looking for reasons to play certain sides, and hopefully you land on the right sides by the end of the week. And, Patrick, I cannot watch 1 soccer game. I don't know how you do that. Soccer's way too
I didn't say it. Yeah. I didn't say I had to watch them. I said I just had to bet them. Now, we're going to dig a little bit more, and we'll go Pennsylvania with Matt Eumanns. You're going to take the 10.5 with Pittsburgh at Philly.
Yeah, I don't know. Not many people are going to like this play, but that's okay. I took points with the Steelers last week against the Dolphins, too, and that was ugly. But they got there, barely, and they held the Dolphins scoreless in the second half. And also the Steelers' defense, since Minka Fitzpatrick has come back, has looked better. It's obviously a defense that misses T.J. Watt. They're not – the pressure rate of the Pittsburgh defense on opposing quarterbacks is pretty low right now. I think worst in the league without T.J. Watt. But they held the Dolphins on six possessions in the second half, the five straight punts, and 127 total yards. And I think the defense is playing better. Is it going to be good enough to stop Jalen Hurts in this offense? Yeah, that's the tough part, and that's why the Eagles are 10.5-point favorites. But a lot of times when a hot team rolls into a bye, I like to bet against that team coming out of the bye because, you know, just think about it. If you got things rolling at work and everything's going well, the last thing you want to do is take a week off. It's tough to get readjusted when you come back. I think the Eagles were better off just playing every week. They were in such a rhythm. They were hot. Sometimes that bye week disrupts your rhythm, disrupts your timing. And I'm hoping that's the case here because I need the Eagles to be a little bit off for the Steelers to cover this number. By the way, the Steelers, aside from that blowout loss at Buffalo, that 38-3 loss, they have been within one score in the final 2 minutes in their other six games. So it's not like they've been getting blown out of games. And I think if Kenny Pickett can continue to improve and not make the mistakes he threw those three picks against the Dolphins, he does have some playmakers around him. I'm hoping the Steelers can do enough to stay within this number. I think they can. It's a decent situational spot with the Eagles coming out of the bye.
Yeah, it is. And I think, look, if they can get through the second quarter, you're going to know whether you're going to win this game by the second quarter. The Eagles have scored 112 points in the second quarter. They haven't scored. If you combine the other three quarters, they haven't scored that up. So they got to stay connected to them. And you're right, Pickett. Those two interceptions, you know, along with the Mike McDaniels deciding not to kick are the reason why, you know, Pittsburgh had a chance to win that game. I mean, really, Pittsburgh had – they have a chance to beat Miami, which to me was really remarkable considering how Miami started.
Matt Eumanns with the pro tip. Hot teams rolling into the bye, fade them coming out of the bye. Always the professional. Remember, it's Bet Prep and Circa Invitational. You want those plays from the pros, go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Matt, thank you for doing this. Travel safely
thank
and
you,
a very
Matt.
Happy birthday to your father. Thank you.
Yeah, hey, best of luck. Thanks, Matty.
Thanks.
Okay, there he goes. Eumanns is the best, man. We love that guy.
Yeah, no
Again,
doubt.
I like
no
that doubt. Pro tip. Elliot, that's for you. Pro tip, hot teams rolling into the bye. They kind of want to keep that momentum going, fade them coming out of the bye. I love that. Michael, grab Thomas Gable, and we're going to find out what's happening in Happy Valley. Proximity-wise, you guys are close. Ohio State's
we're
in
got
town.
It.
That's next here at Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, Brent Musburger, thank you. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. I tell you about it every day for good reason. It's the best reward program in the game. And remember, BetMGM has updated the interface there with the app, so it's very easy to use in-game with the live betting. If you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can use these points towards dining, hotels, shows, anything you want. Also, free bets. So make sure you check it out, BetMGM.com. It's the loyalty program, 1-800-GAMBLER, 21 years or older. We're back. So legend to legend to legend, right? We got Michael Lombardi, you had Carl Johnson, you had Matt Eumanns, and now we bring in our partner, Thomas Gable. He runs the race and sportsbook there at the Borgata, and we say hi. First off, let's talk about yesterday. It must have been crazy. Philly's down 5-0, Verlander's rolling. Given up. There wasn't a runner on base for three innings, and all of a sudden, 3-2 and consecutive innings. It's 5-5, and Philly goes on to win it against that bullpen for Houston. This may be a team of destiny with the Phillies.
It was interesting. I mean, it was a late night here. It was packed to the gills in here, and nobody was leaving. Even so, it was. I think if you look at that game, though. As Patrick said, Verlander was perfect through the first three. And then, obviously, Phillies got a crooked number there in the fourth inning. And that decision by Dusty Baker to keep him in the game for the fifth inning obviously proved costly because, I mean, Houston has the best bullpen in baseball. And somehow Dusty let Verlander come out for the fifth. Phillies come back and tie it, and kudos to the Phillies bullpen, though. They held on and did a great job last night. And the Phillies defense also, no mistakes. They stepped up, played good defense. So
good
they did what they set out to accomplish there, and that's at least win one game in Houston. But series far from over. Far from over.
I mean, that pitching's still eventually going to come around, right, you think? But, look, I mean, Patrick's right. When you get on those rolls, when it was 5-0, I'm thinking this baby's over with. Yeah. Katie barred the door here. But, you know, they fought their way back into it, and give them credit. I mean, look, you know, and I thought the manager did a great job of stopping the bleeding, getting back control of the game in the middle innings when he put the reliever in, you know, and was able to kind of figure out a way to win that game. To me, that was the essence of what we're missing in the NFL, is understanding how to win the game at the time. And we're relying on some sheet that's got 5,000 games simulated in it that's telling us basically nothing about the game we're playing.
Yeah. Now, Rob Thomson, he pushed all the right buttons last night for the Phillies. He did a great job last night. And, you know, he took a lot of flack before game one by the decision to start Nola instead of Wheeler.
That's
so
right.
A lot of people were questioning that decision. And, you know, the Phillies stole one there last night.
I just think there's a sense of when you can blend the two. But, you know, Patrick, the Phillies winning was a nice story. The bigger story of the day was the 76ers winning in Toronto.
Oh, stop.
Without the greatest player in the history of basketball. He had knee problems.
Knee management.
I will send you an address. You can send him a get-well card.
So, a couple things. One, grease the poles in Philly, because if something goes down, we're going to have some partying. And then two, I heard you guys were having a discussion about knee management. Is this going to infiltrate the show today?
Yeah.
What's going on with knee management, Michael Lombardi?
Well, our big guy at Philly, he needed a break, you know? He needed a break. He's very upset that he didn't win MVP. That's why he didn't work out this summer. So, you know, he needs a break. It's certainly time.
It is a back-to-back situation for them, because they play tonight. So they sat out the first.
Got it. Yeah, so now they have to play tonight. So,
my friends will be disgusted with me. I'm going to switch the topic, because they're obsessed when Michael goes off on a 76ers. However, we do have college football. And let's start there, Happy Valley. I got 15.5 with Ohio State laying at Thomas. How about their regional book?
Yeah, it's still 15.5. A quick story here. I'm leaving for work this morning, and a kid who lives across the street from me comes out. And he says, "Are you going to be home for trick-or-treating on Monday night for Halloween?" I said, "Yeah, it might be. It depends." And I said, "Are you dressing up?" He says, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what are you going to be?" He says, "I have the scariest costume you can imagine." And I said, "What is that?" And he says, "I'm going as Coach Franklin's record against top five teams." And true story. And it is scary. It's 1-9 against top five teams. So it's listen. The Buckeyes, you have really is the highest power-rated team in college football. But I think this is going to be their first true test here. You know, they had that early season game against Notre Dame where they struggled to get separation, and now they go to Happy Valley. And I don't think Penn State has the offensive weapons to keep up here really with Ohio State. It's going to fall on the defense for Penn State if they're going to cover in this spot. And the secondary for Penn State, that's their strength. They've been very good this year. They're going to have their hands full, obviously, containing Ohio State's passing attack. Joey Porter Jr., he's shown himself to be a potential first-round draft pick for the Nittany Lions. But overall, they have very decent depth in the secondary. And keeping the turnovers to a minimum, that's going to be the key here for Penn State. Michael, how confident are you, though, in this Penn State defense to keep this game close? It is a much different experience, I will say, playing at Penn State for a noon kickoff than it is at night,
Matt Eubanks mentioned that, and he would like the dog more. But, look, I mean, you got to play him. I think, to me, you got to be able to – you can't let the game get away from you. You're going to have to be able to answer him, because you're not going to pitch a shutout. You're not going to win this game 16-6, right? But you got to be able to stay controlled. And I think a lot of it's going to come down to Franklin, how he manages the game, his decision-making. Because his instincts are going to tell him to go for it on fourth down, because he's going to say, if I punt it back, I might get further behind. And you got to figure out how you trust your defense in these situations. So, look, I thought Michigan wore Penn State down. Like you said, they turned them over and they wore them down. We're going to find out about Ohio State today. I mean, if you're a good program, you shouldn't be over 2 touchdowns dog to Ohio State, especially if you're Penn State.
Franklin 2-14 versus the top 10 straight up. Now, they have, although five straight losses for Penn State in this series against Ohio State, they've covered four of the last, I think, five it was. So, again, they've actually kept these games quite tight. They just keep losing to Ohio State. Next one up, Tennessee. Remember, next week Tennessee heads to Athens. They've got Kentucky. This is a tough spot here, Thomas. What do you got?
You say, is this a good spot for Kentucky here? Because, you know, hopefully Tennessee is not looking ahead to next weekend's game against Georgia. But very physical Kentucky team. They're at full strength here. And Tennessee may have the best offense in the country, depending how you want to rate Ohio State there and the strengths of their opponents. But Kentucky's had an extra week of preparation here. The Volunteers, they've scored 40 points in three straight games. But you figure possessions may be limited in this one. Kentucky's going to look to win the line of scrimmage, and really a contrast of styles in this game. Obviously, big implications for Tennessee moving forward. They can't be looking past the Wildcats here. The ticket count and the money is favoring Tennessee here, currently laying 11.5, down from the opener of 12.5, though. So it's dropped a point.
Let me ask you this. I think, to me, if Kentucky covers or wins, that they've got to keep this game 31-27 in that area, 58. Would you play the under if you play Kentucky too?
Yes, but by all means, if you are leaning Kentucky here, yeah, I think you have to look at the under, which is 62. Currently sitting at 62 right now.
That's my instinct.
If you like
Tennessee, you got to play the over. Right, exactly.
Yep, correlative betting. You take the dog and the under. I love that play, Michael. Okay, so next one up. And we were talking about this one. We said, wait, A&M and Jimbo, they're favored? Here comes Ole Miss. What do you have there at the Borgata?
Well, Ole Miss is now favored. They're favored by 2.5. So it has flipped. And does Jimbo get shut out of a bowl game this year? That's the question. If they lose here, they're going to drop to 3-5, and after being a preseason top 10, very good chance they're going to not qualify for a bowl. And Ole Miss, of course, looking to bounce back after that one-sided loss to LSU last week. They're averaging at 38.3 points per game, the Rebels are, and compare that to A&M, the lowest scoring team in the SEC, at 21.6 points per game here for Jimbo.
I mean, look, Jimbo, to me, what he said after the South Carolina game had to infuriate the A&M alum. I mean, we were competing with them. We were in the South Carolina is on a different level of program.
Yep.
I mean, they're
completely
in the second year of the Beamer program. I mean, they don't have the NIL that they do. I mean, it's a great school. It's got great football tradition, but they're just rebuilding that program.
Yep.
For Jimbo to say that, it just tells you how bad his team is. And then he gets two kids suspended for doing something in the locker room. I don't know what, but I've heard what. You know, so that's a problem. And I think there's a lot of dysfunction. I know you say, well, it's a hard place to play, College Station. Is it? It wasn't hard for Appalachian.
Right. Pardon me, misread the board. Never a flip. Ole Miss, open favored, still favored there at A&M. Quickly on this one, Oklahoma State and Kansas State, a fascinating matchup because the question about Adrian Martinez there with Kansas State in Manhattan.
Yeah, so Kansas State still favored by 1.5. And Adrian Martinez, as you mentioned, he's going to be a game-time decision. Left the TCU game there last week with the leg injury. So we'll see. If he can't go, it's going to be Will Howard in his place. And Howard, after halftime of last week's game, really showed nothing. So almost everybody taking Oklahoma State.
Don't bet against Gundy. He's a good coach.
So your neighbor came by talking about Halloween. Make sure you hand out the big candy bars on Halloween.
We can
discuss that tomorrow.
He's not going to be home on Halloween. He's got too much to do. He's no way.
And he's going to be with us tomorrow during the Lombardi Line. We're next running the board.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, the Breeders' Cup is next week. Sign up and bet the Breeders' Cup with ExpressBet and FirstBet. It's the best horse racing app out there. Remember, if you use that promo code HORSE200, you can, first off, you get $10 free and then 100% match of your first deposit up to $200. It's a great job, and it's a great deal to get you set up for Breeders' Cups. Okay? So remember, VSiN.com/horses, and the Breeders' Cup is essentially all the best horses from all around the country, Dubai, England, Ireland, of course, the United States, and you can bet them over at FirstBet. VSiN.com/horses for more information. Okay, we got you back here on the Lombardi Line on a Saturday. It's week 9 as we head into November, the final month of the college football season before we get to the bowl games and, of course, the college football playoff. Remember, Michael Lombardi, we do have the committee dropping their first set of rankings coming up this Tuesday, November 1. And, you know, we joked about it a little bit earlier, but I think it is worth mentioning. You know, this is a committee made up of people, not necessarily football people, that are easily influenced. And it's a suggestive thing. So they're influenced by how these teams perform moving on out.
I think there's no doubt. I mean, and that's not a knock on it. It's just, to me, they're using data that they're accumulating. They're trying to be objective by not having an opinion, so they use statistical analysis to formulate their rankings. And so they're trying to keep bias out of it, right? But at the end of the day, the problem with college football is there's such an imbalance in terms of level of competition. So Clemson, you know, who they beat and what their numbers are. It's our problem today trying to figure out how good Ohio State is. Are they really good, or are they accumulated a lot of numbers against opponents that are inferior to them because of their recruiting and their ability to have all these talented players on one team? So I think that's where the committee gets into a little bit of a trouble, because they're using numbers that sometimes are real and sometimes are not.
Well, let's start with the team that could be a part of the rankings, and that's the Wolverines sitting at number 4 as far as the rankings are concerned right now. They're going to be hosting Michigan State. Michigan State, a down year, just 3-4 this year. However, Kenneth Walker scored 5 touchdowns last year, and Mel Tucker, who's 2-0 against Michigan, beat the Wolverines. Michigan then went on to the college football playoff and got blown out. But you said it at the top of the show. Michigan's defense has been lights out. McCarthy looks like he's going to be a star. Rush attack with Corum and Edwards. There's just a very well-rounded team, but they're laying a price. They're up to 22-23 here hosting Michigan State.
I think it's too many points in this kind of rivalry. 3 touchdowns, if you win by 3 touchdowns, that's a rout, right? That's a lot of points, and I think the pace of the way Michigan wants to play and control the pace of the game, and they're going to wear you down, and they're able to, you know, do that, but it also reduces the clock, right? So we got the total at 55, and you're laying 23, you know? So that to me seems a little bit imbalanced. I know Michigan State's not the best team that they've been this year, but they're getting some players back from injury. I would take the points. If I had a play, I would lean towards the points.
Michigan, a big advantage, both sides in the trenches, but you can't lay 23. I'm sorry. It's a rivalry growing up there. It didn't matter how teams were playing coming into the matchup. Plus, Michigan State's won 10 of 14 over the last 14 seasons. So, again, there it is, a big number with Michigan laying it. Let's talk about another rivalry, and that is happening in Jacksonville today with Georgia, Florida. This number got all the way up to 23 as well. Let me give you the updated number, Michael, as we sit here. It is 23.5 at a couple of shops with Georgia laying it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still not sold on this Florida defense, but I would lean towards taking Florida in the points because I do think Florida will move the football. We saw Missouri move the ball a little bit on Georgia, right? And Missouri's by no means a very good offense. They struggled to beat Vanderbilt last week, but they were able to move the ball. It was on the road. It was at home for Missouri, so it was a tough out for Georgia. It really was. It kind of makes you not be as impressed with Georgia as you thought you might be, considering how hard it was for them to beat Vanderbilt. I mean, if Missouri. And look, let's face it, Kent State moved the ball on Georgia. I want to find out about Georgia today. I think this is too many points. I'm not dismissing Georgia as the best team in college football right now, but I do think the points, you got to take Florida.
How about this one? 9-22, Oklahoma State, Kansas State. The Big 12 has been entertaining this year, and these two teams, the winner stays in the hunt there in the Big 12. So this is a huge game for Oak State and Kansas State in Manhattan. The number right now, yeah. Kansas State's up to 1.5. You know, the question as far as Kansas State is Adrian Martinez going to play, because he, along with Deuce Vaughn, they kind of run that option-based run game, and it's very hard to stop. Oklahoma State hasn't played a defense like Kansas State this year. This is a very interesting matchup, specifically because Oklahoma State now five straight games has run the gauntlet.
Yeah, they've been really good. You know, and last week against TCU, they were able to come back and find a way to win that game. I mean, it was really remarkable. I mean, they're resilient. You know, you don't – Mike Gundy has done a really good job in this game. To me, I think that Kansas State, Manhattan, Kansas, a hard place to play. You know, and it's a hard place to get a win, and especially if they have health at quarterback. I would lean towards K-State here as much as I love the Oklahoma State program.
Spencer Sanders, to be fair, he played very well against Texas because, remember, he was going into that game as a question mark, and he did play well for Oak State. Gundy's done a hell of a job with that program. I totally agree with you. Let's talk about the three games you mentioned earlier in the show that were kind of random, and one being Oregon-Arizona, okay? Because, remember, this is you're going to try to get some style points here, impress the committee. And excuse me, Oregon-California. Cal scored last week, too, which is a surprise. Oregon's laying 17
Shocker.
At Cal.
You know, I mean, look, the Cal offense, other than when they played Arizona, was not very good. And for them to score that many points. But I think this is a different Oregon team. Defensively, they've improved. You know, they've gotten better since the Ohio State game. I think I would lay the points here and take Oregon. I think Cal is just not good enough in both sides of the ball to match up with Oregon.
Love what Jed Fish is doing at Arizona. Don't love what's happening on defense right now. Here comes USC, bitter. A little frustrated. They're laying 14.5. I just don't see how Arizona stops this offense.
I don't either. I think this could be a 45-21 game. I mean, Arizona gives up 5.5 opponent points per play. USC gives up 0.31. I mean, that's a huge difference in a game, right? SC gives up 5.5 yards per play. Arizona gives up 6.8 yards per play. And USC averages 6.8 per play. I think this is – I don't see how Arizona – I think Jed Fish has done a great job. Defensively, they got a lot of work to do. They're not good up front. They're not big enough. And they're going to have a hard time stopping this ground game of USC. They're going to have a hard time stopping it. Even though it's at home, I would take SC and lay the points.
Mark Stoops in Kentucky, 3-0 ATS, 2-1 straight up as a dog this year. Stoops has been great as a dog at Kentucky. We know this. I will tell you, not just Matt Eumanns, but Kentucky is a sharp play today. They're at Tennessee, and Tennessee's laying 11.5.
I don't think Tennessee's looking ahead to anything. I think Tennessee is really, really about the moment. I think this coach, Josh Heupel's done a nice job. I don't think they think they're good enough to look ahead. You know, and I think that they'll play well today. I think this is all about pace and control. I think ultimately Tennessee gets control of this game. I think they can cover this number because I think Kentucky's going to have a hard time really matching them if they get into a track meet. And as good a coach as Stoops is, Nick Saban had a hard time slowing them down. So I'm going to lean. I'm going to go against the grain here. I'll take Tennessee and lay the points.
Michigan dropped 41 and rushed for 418 yards against this Penn State defense. I'm sorry. I don't think they stop Ohio State. Again, it's not at night. It's not going to be a whiteout there at Happy Valley. Ohio State's laying 15.5 at Penn State.
I mean, look, you know, to me, everything tells you take Penn State and the points, right? Everything tells you that because that's what Penn State, you know, they should. They should be able to stay within two scores of Ohio State. You know, they're playing at home. They've got the defense. Their defense is a good defense. It's not elite. Michigan State wore them down running the football. So I'm going to take Penn State in the points only because I don't know enough about Ohio State against real competition. I'm not sure Penn State is. But look, Penn State's not going to lose another game at the end. Look at their schedule, right? But they're going to lose two of the best teams. And if Franklin doesn't win one of these games, you know, at some point, if you're a Penn State alum, you're saying, wait a minute, hold on.
Let's quickly get out in front of Denver-Jacksonville because we're going to be here tomorrow morning. But to give the bettors an idea, Michael, it's 2 right now with Jacksonville laying it. Do you have the Lombardi line? Do you remember the number that you have on this game?
3.68. I have Jacksonville's the favorite. I would lean towards Jacksonville. I don't trust Jacksonville, but I would lean towards them. Jacksonville's got to pressure the quarterback. They've got to put pressure on Russell. They're 26th in sacks per play this year. That was really good at the beginning of the year. They haven't gotten the same level as later in the season. But they should be able to put some pressure on Russell, and they've got to be able to give the ball to ATN and run it. And it's hard to run the ball on Denver. Denver's a good defense. but you can make some plays against Denver. I just think, to me, Jacksonville is the better team in this situation. They're comfortable playing in London. I would lay the points, take Jacksonville as a lean, not an official pick, Bill AD.
We're going to be here live to enjoy it. I'll talk to you then, Michael. Enjoy the party tonight
wait,
there
Patrick.
In Ocean City.
Thank you, Patrick.
I know.
We'll
look
toast
forward
you.
To it. Elliot and everybody back at Circa, tremendous job. Live Bet Saturday with JBT and the crew is coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.